Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hello again! You are listening to Garbled Twistery, and before we just jump right into it, I have to say something just to get it out of the way, okay? Last episode, I covered a dude named Samuel Huntington, but somehow his name magically transformed into Samuel Hutchinson, probably because he was such a normie average Joe that I couldn't not mess up his name. You know what I mean? You don't. Everyone's a critic. Oh, well. I had to tell you that in case you got lost in the mall looking for the popcorn cart and ended up here. I mean, what a boring guy. Anyways, today we're talking about our sixth candidate, who was a hotshot general who had the most patriotic name I've ever come across in my studies. Benjamin Lincoln. What a name, I tell ya. So, Benny Boy Lincoln comes from a long family line of humans who are named after car brands that first settled in the freaking Massachusetts Bay Colony. Yeah, he goes way back. His dad, who was also named Benjamin Lincoln because that name is trendy, I guess, was all about that government life. Like, he had the governor on speed dial. I think it goes without saying that at this point, Benny Lincoln Sr. was one of the richest guys in the county. I mean, he wasn't Hancocky Merchant Empire rich, but he had a pretty penny, okay? But anyways, Benny Lincoln Jr. lived a simple life as a wee lad, hoeing the corn on the farm and taking the bus to public school and stuff. Then, when he was like 21, he joined the local militia just like his daddy did. He married some lady named Mary and they popped out 11 babies. And 7 were able to like grow up completely and stuff without like dying early. Like, that's a new survival record. 7? Wow. But yeah, he was in the militia while the baguettes and powwow war was going on, and you know what that means? Nothing! Nothing happened in his militia while the big fat fur fight was going on, and like, he got a promotion, probably precisely because nothing happened to the militia. But yeah, he's a major now. He's also got, like, elected to the Hyman Town Board of Directors with money or whatever. I mean, the job title is called a selectman, but, like, the only thing that job describes is that a particular man was selected. Like, geez Louise, you could call Sonic Fox a selectman for esports. Like, come on, people. You couldn't come up with a better job title than that.
Come on.
Anyways, he was on this board of directors for like 6 freaking years, but then those stupid taxes started happening, and everybody was starting to hold butcher knives to each other's necks, so yeah, he had to get out of that situation and choose a side. And he ended up choosing the winning side, the New England Patriots. Oh, did I say winning side? Yikes! Like, after that utter massacre in Boston, he was boycotting everything left and right and telling everybody and their grandmother to boycott left and right, too. He got so much freaking popularity from yelling about this so much that he was elected to be a town government rep! And he also got another promotion to Lieutenant Colonel of Suffolk County.
North.
I mean, all that nonsense was basically ruined when Tommy Gage showed up and became the freaking governor, because nice things don't ever last all that long in this world, okay? Like, he straight up dissolved the assembly, but then he made a new one, and Benny Lincoln got elected to it, easy peasy lemon squeezy. And everybody put him in all the militia committees and gun show committees. Yeah. This made him super duper impactful, especially when that insane debacle happened at Lexington and Concord, okay? And when things were heating up, Congress made him like an executive of safety. What does that mean? It means that if you were shooting your guns and you ran out of guns to shoot, call Benny Lincoln. You want to go to sleep, but there's too many bullet holes in your covers and you don't want to get frostbite? Call Benny Lincoln. Is there a bug in your soup bowl and the soup is all expired and clumpy and nasty? Call Benny Lincoln. Located on exit 4 off the I-95. So yeah, with all this cray-cray revolution stuff going on, our guy Benny Lincoln got
another promotion.
Yep, now he was the Major General for all of Massachusetts, keeping the coastline safe, man. Yeah, like, he was putting cannons on the beach and chasing those freeloading tea sippers out of the Boston Harbor and stuff. I mean, Benny Boy Lincoln had, like, barely any experience in the freaking field, but apparently he was really, really good at nudge, nudge, wink, winking for him to climb the military ladder, which is notoriously difficult to climb, I would assume. Anyways, the higher-ups let him grab a cute little militia and told him to go meet up with Jorge and the Big Apple, because apparently there was a whole lot of foolishness that was happening in that area. However, when he was on his way in, like, Connecticut, a raven carrying an envelope perched itself on his shoulder. It's a letter from General Jorge Washington. Quote,
"Dude, this war stuff is bananas. I need you to go to Long Island and please come quickly. We're getting freaking batted out here." Unquote.
So, Benny tried to do that, but his little quest was canceled very abruptly because Jorge Washington was freaking retreating from Long Island like no tomorrow, okay? So it was back to the original plan, meet up in the Big Apple and help Jorge hide his hide in White Plains. And it was Benjamin Lincoln's guys who were helping to stop the tea sippers from catching up and stuff. So yeah, finally, Benny Boy can say he saw some freaking action in the wars. Anyways, the contracts were expiring for his dudes, so Benny Lincoln went home to Massachusetts to get some new recruits, only to find out that Jorge Washington went behind his back and said a bunch of good things, and now he's getting promoted to be a major general of the whole freaking Patriot Army. Holy guacamole! So they sent him to Bound Brook, New Jersey, and he was all confident and stuff, getting into teeny little battles and stuff, and then freaking tea-sipping General Cornball showed up and mopped the freaking floor with him. He barely got out of there, man. Oh, did I worry you? I surely hope you didn't worry your little self too hard, because General Benny Lincoln's gonna get another chance to look cool in front of his friends. Where? At Sarah's toga party, of course. Benny and his friends, Arnold and Morgan, had to go talk to Philip Schuyler, who's paying rent for the house where Sarah's toga party was gonna happen, about, you know, fireworks policy. But then Philip Schuyler was, like, evicted, so Horatio Gates was the guy they had to talk to about preparations for Sarah's toga party. They decided to have it in upstate New York to troll Sarah's longtime rival, Johnny Burgoyne. It's an inside joke with them that I never understood. Anyways, Schuyler wanted Benny Lincoln to, like, gather a bunch of people to be annoying and steal food from Burgoyne, but some Neanderthal from New Hampshire named John Stark, who wasn't even formally invited to the party, was all like, "You're not the boss of me," and freaking won the Battle of Bennington by himself without Benjamin Lincoln's permission. What an American move. But yeah, when Benny Lincoln finally gathered like 2,000 peeps, he started with the annoying pranks and it actually got some prisoners freed from Ticonderoga, which was nice. I mean, he couldn't capture that freaking fort if he tried. And he did.
He tried.
But at least he freed some prisoners.
He did.
When Shiloh was finally evicted, Horatio Gates was all like, quote,
"Yeah, ignore whatever the last guy said. Come hang out with me at the river. I bought my new lean, mean, fat grilling machine. Yummy," unquote.
So, yeah, they met up in New York, and then Benny brought some hamburgers to the Hudson River just to enjoy that specific breeze with his troops. What was there to worry about? His buddy Colonel Morgan had freaking snagged like 6 cannons from the T-Sippers in one go. Everything's fine. Bam, 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 bam. Some battle literally happened on the other side of the freaking river, so Benny Lincoln was told to freaking wait until it was over and then snoop around or whatever, only to run into a tiny group of T-Sippers who freaking shattered his ankle with their bullets. So he had to go all the way to freaking St. Jude's in Albany or something, and like, that's when he learned Burgoyne freaking quit this whole war thing. It's also in the hospital where he learned that Eggs Benedict Arnold Cumberpatch got a promotion, demoting him to being the bottom of the barrel when it comes to generals, which was so freaking insulting that he almost literally quit. But the key word here is almost, am I right? So, summertime comes around, and in August, Benny Lincoln is hanging out with, like, the boss of all bosses, Jorge Washington. And Jorge is all like, quote, "Hey, are you sure you don't want to take your guns down south and stuff? I hear they eat their chickens on top of their waffles down there." And Benny's response was, quote, "Chicken on top of waffles? That sounds like a combination made in heaven," unquote. And that's how Benny Lincoln became the commander of the Southern Patriot Army. You see, the T-Sippers had taken Savannah, Georgia, and Lincoln tried to help take it back, but that was an epic fail, so he had to go hide in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, this next event is one that overlaps heavily with Johnny Ruddy's story, because Benny Lincoln also, like, experienced it firsthand. Do you remember? It was when British Bill Clinton took, like, 5,000 freaking people and surrounded the crud out of Charleston. Benny Lincoln had to run away fast, and he needed people so bad that he was literally asking if he could give guns to, like, 1,000 slaves to help them shoot the T-Sippers away. But here was the South Carolina Congress's response. Quote, "Now you listen here, Benjamin. I know you must be new to the southern way of doing things, but around these parts, we like to keep those black savages from doing any heroic deeds whatsoever. Why, we'd rather let them their teeth strippers stroll through the heart of South Carolina willingly," unquote. Like, they really tried the college tour routine instead of just arming the slaves. Wow, now that's some old school stubborn hate right there. Yeah. On top of that, like, Benny Lincoln got a whole lot of people mad at him for retreating with most of his forces like a sissy. Like, literally everybody was mad at him about this, and also the whole slave situation gave the T-Sippers a big hint about how rootin' tootin' racist the South was at the time. So the T-Sippers started hiring as many black people as they can to shoot guns, knowing the South wouldn't consider doing the same. So yeah, he got his tuchus replaced by some loony named William the Phillips Screwdriver, and he went crying back to George, who gave him a nice little job leading a tender, meaty chunk of the army through Virginia to go kick some tuchus at Yorktown. And tuchus he kicked indeed! Cornball, the guy who thrashed him earlier, literally gave up on the whole war thing. I mean, there were rumors that, like, he did attend the surrender party because he was too sick, and then Jorge Washington decided not to follow the surrender protocol. But, like, those are only rumors. I mean, why make dumb rules if smart people aren't going to follow them, you know? Nah, he arranged for Benny Lincoln to be the one accepting the surrender like it was all staged. Yeah, it was all staged. Be careful who you listen to. So the war ends, and the Articles of Confederacy are a thing. And, like, the U.S. needs a war secretary, and everybody sitting at the table freaking looks at Benjamin Lincoln expectantly. So, yeah, he was the Secretary of War for a couple years. What are you gonna do? Oh, and he, like, became a fellow for the Academy of Painting and Beakers, too. So this guy did a couple more things, but we're getting close to election season. The first of those things he did was attend some convention in Massachusetts to sign some constitution thingy. Oh, and when that huge peasant revolt, Shay's Rebellion, was causing a ruckus, he was the dude who sent his peeps in and, like, turned off that fight. He straight up forced them to freaking surrender and stuff. Other than that, election season is coming up, so I gotta stop here. But you know the deal. If he shows up in the future, you'll get this episode with an update and my telling you where the updated info is, because I'm nice like that. But yeah, if you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, crippling sleep deprivation, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook or Twitter, or you can head to the garbletwistery.net website and send a message in the contacts section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Next week, we're almost dudsies. George Clinton is our guy. Number 7, we're getting oh so close to the first election. Get excited.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
You want to go to sleep, but there's too many bullet holes in your covers and you don't want to get frostbite?